Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing in the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, they're going to be your views this hour because we're going to have open lines. Our regularly scheduled guest is not going to be with us, and perhaps we'll fill somebody in on Wednesday. We'll have to see, but it is open lines. Our numbers are 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. We did an open line at 4 o'clock this afternoon. Somebody asked me about the relationship between the story of the serpent in the Garden of Eden and Prometheus, and I got a little confused between Prometheus, who stole fire and then was punished by Zeus for giving fire to man, and of course apparently a great deal of other knowledge, and the story of the phoenix bird. Both had to do with fire, but of course they are entirely different stories. The phoenix, of course, died and then rose again from the ashes. Prometheus was actually tortured because he had given not only fire but knowledge to man. And in some respects, this is somewhat similar to the story we see in the story of the garden and the serpent there. The serpent Lucifer tried to get people to turn against God, to violate God's laws, offering to give them total freedom. Well, Prometheus certainly wanted to give people knowledge and fire and turn them against Zeus. And there is a definite analogy there, which I'd never thought of before. But it could very well be that Prometheus was a prototype of Lucifer, the modern-day Lucifer, as we see him today. However, that's far beyond the scope of the conversation we're going to be having. Not much rather talk about the swine flu epidemic or what's happening financially or what's happening politically or the Kevorkian health care bill. In fact, we have some new information on that, which I really was rather fascinating. Now, over the weekend, I was up on the Internet, and I read an article about a Dr. Janda, it rhymes with panda, only it's spelled with a J, who is an orthopedic surgeon, and so he's written some articles that are up on the Internet. I was intrigued because, of course, there's sort of camaraderie between orthopedic surgeons. It's a wonderful, wonderful specialty. And Dr. Janda had written some articles about the Obama health care bill, which, of course, I prefer to call the Kevorkian health care bill. And, of course, Dr. Janda said something about the death panels. He didn't call them death panels, but the government panels that are going to determine what health care is available to people. And certainly, I called him and talked to him this morning. We're going to have him as a guest on our program. But what he told me was really fascinating. He said the death panels really are not in the Obama health care bill. They are already the law of the land. They were actually put through in the stimulus bill. They're these panels. They've got to put about $1 billion into these panels that are going to determine what health care people are going to get. And, of course, you want to get, when you're short on funds, you get the cheapest health care you can. You have to restrict health care to people at the latter part of their life because that's when the most expensive is incurred, and we'll be having Dr. Janda on to do that. But as he commented, his articles appeared on the Internet, and many people have taken them, and they've actually taken out the part about the death panels, about the fact that this was in the stimulus bill. Most people don't know that, and they've simply censored his articles, which were up on the Internet. I hope to get it, and we'll post it on our website so you can see the original. But this is what they do. The last thing they want is for the American people to know they're planning on withholding care from the elderly. Our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And I think we should call it the Kevorkian bill, and we ought to talk about the death panels. They're really there, and they do intend to kill people. Well, this is Dr. Stan. There's going to be open lines tonight, and we do hope if you're out there, you'll give us a call. Because after all, talk radio is, well, you don't want to just hear the host talk. And I think it's really so interesting that the Democrats and the Obama administration are frantic that the American people are going to begin to question how you can massively expand health care, not raise taxes, certainly provide a quality care for everybody in America at less money. And, of course, President Obama has said we have to get control of the health care spending if we're going to get our economy under control. And that is absolutely true. What President Obama is not telling you is that the Medicare system was a fraud. It was originally set up with the idea that, of course, people would pay into it, there would be an excess because, of course, it was a Ponzi scheme. More money was put in than was actually put out, and so as long as people kept paying into Medicare, they could keep putting the money out. But, of course, what's happened is, of course, because so many people aren't working now, why the income for Medicare has been falling. Supposedly, the excess was going to be put into a trust fund. But, of course, the politicians spent the trust fund, just like Bernie Madoff did. He spent the money he got on luxurious living and traveling and all of his friends. And Bernie Madoff spent the money, people's money that should have been invested. We're living the good life, and Congress has been doing exactly the same thing. But the day of reckoning is coming. And the day of reckoning is coming because right now, of course, Medicare is paying out more money than it's taking in. They're not telling you that. It certainly looks, one of the congressmen was quoted in Bob Chapman's International Forecaster as saying, the same thing will happen to Social Security in the next couple of years. Now, Social Security was supposed to be good for another 10 or 15 years, but now that there's so much less money coming into Social Security, by very, very soon, they'll be putting out more than they're taking in. That's what happens with any Ponzi scheme. And, of course, when you do that, well, then you have to go to the Social Security Trust Fund. And you know what's in the Social Security Trust Fund? Some IOUs from a government that's having to borrow over $4 billion a day to pay its debts. Do you really think that a government that can't meet its expenses and have to borrow money every day is going to be able to pay back the IOUs that are in their fund? And of course, they're not going to be able to. It's part of the national debt, and Medicare and Social Security are Ponzi schemes, and they're going to collapse very soon. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. It's Open Line Monday. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And let's go to John, who's calling from Spokane. Hi, John.
Hi, Dr. Stan. You mentioned about the flu pandemic.
Yes.
I was doing some research on the Internet this morning, and I came across a couple of things that I'd like to share. I'm at work right now, so I don't have the actual websites where I visited at hand. I can email them to you tomorrow. But one of them in particular talked about that since the 70s, there is a database, and it's called PROMISE. It's a technology, and it deals with very high-end algorithms, and they can enter in this if people do this, then we do that, and they can get into things with all the health-related factors when you bring in even very complex things like viruses and the DNA and all this kind of thing, and that they've been working on this, and that exists. And so now, all this stuff that we're thinking, trying to figure out, like, what are they thinking next and what have you, they're actually using computer-based algorithms to deal with this stuff, and that what it said was the only thing based off of people's behavior and what have you they can think next, the one thing it can't, they talked about, one thing they can't predict is intuitive or original thought. In other words, if a person was to have, they're thinking for themselves, they're not reacting, but they're actually having an original thought. They can't predict that. It's a type of intuitive, original thought, because that in itself is God-based, it's not material-based, and that...
What is the point?
The point is, in terms of what they've got, they've been able to figure out the viruses, how many people that it would actually kill based off of DNA and types and what have you, and then people's reactions and how they're going to do it. It's almost like they can think through the chess game and every move all the way out using these computer-based algorithms. It uses Oracle database. The software is called Promise with no E at the end, if you wanted to search based on that. So there's that. And the other thing is I went to the World Health Organization's website and saw that we're still at a level 6.
Totally a political decision. I mean, this is not a major pandemic. How many people, did you notice how many people had died? I checked a couple of days ago, and there were about 1,400 people had died throughout the entire world. Now, maybe it's probably 1,700 or 1,800 people. You know, and some countries have hardly any of this at all, and they call it a pandemic purely politically. This is not a major or lethal epidemic. If you stop and look at the figures here in the United States, the latest figures that I had 2 days ago, 522 people had died in the United States, and 80% of those had previous, you know, serious illnesses that predisposed them to it. When you figure that 36,000 people were told die every year of the regular flu, and with this terrible, deadly pandemic, 522 people have died, 80% of whom had serious general health conditions, does that really alarm you?
No, and on the database, I was noticing that at the WHO's, not the database, but the WHO's website, it gives you a breakdown according to zones throughout the world as far as deaths and what have you. And the lion's share is in North America.
Right.
The vast lion's share. The other thing that, the main point I was trying to get to with the other, I apologize, and that is one of the first things that Obama's program is, if we nationalize healthcare, is to put in a central database that has all our medical information. In that case, and I heard originally that they're going to have our DNA in that database. Now, with this information about this Oracle-based Promise software, if that goes in and they have that, now they have everything and they can do anything with anybody. They have our medical records. They could do anything they wanted, and they could have that, and they can use the algorithms because now they have all the data.
But you see, basically this is part of a master plan. Echelon listens to every telephone call in the entire world. They read every email. They read every fax. They're monitoring people all throughout the world. Oh, should we be surprised? They want our medical records. They want to know everything about us. They want to know where we live. They have GPS coordinates on every home in the world. They're developing that right now. I said they're in the process of issuing identification cards to the 1.2 billion people who live in India. It's all part, John, of this program of monitoring everybody as we move towards a society where everybody will have a number and you'll neither buy nor sell unless you be known by the number of your name. This is what it's about. And it should be so obvious to anybody who comes from a Christian background. Why should we be surprised when Obama says, we want to protect your privacy by putting your medical records on the Internet? Now, how could you possibly do that? Well, he's simply lying. You can tell when President Obama is lying because his lips are moving. Everything he says is a lie.
Right.
But then, of course, if you tell the people the truth, we want to monitor you, we want to impoverish the American people, we want to have everybody numbered, we want to take the world into a cashless society, we want to transfer America's jobs and wealth to other countries, why, people would be upset and they wouldn't vote for the politicians. In fact, they might start throwing the congressmen and the senators out of office who should have been thrown out 20 years ago.
Right. Well, you know, one of the things that concerns me is the biggest liability to them are free thinkers like yourself and anyone else who's a part of this, who's actually thinking outside the box, is free thinkers and the whole mental health part, because with the TARP bill, they put in, with the Senate's version, the mental health parity part. And with the laws that already exist on the books, such as the Baker Act, and now they're doing teen screen and all this kind of stuff, and just about every kid, at least up here in Spokane, every kid that's in foster care, the ones that I'm aware of, because there's a foster care home right down the street from where I live, they're all on psychiatric medication. And these kids, from everything I've seen when they're out walking the dogs, they're just the nicest, normalest kids. Maybe it's based on the meds, but I don't think so. And a friend of mine just adopted one of them, and he was telling me about what goes on. And so I'm really concerned about all, you know, the fact that, A, there's the mental health parity part, B, they have the central database, and C, even the stuff that they can do using these towers, whether the extra-long frequency waves or whether they use the tetra waves, you know, that supposedly are for FEMA communication systems and this kind of stuff. I don't know. I think the mental part that they can even with vibrational stuff using a extra long frequency wave, that, you know, it's like a person thinks he's having a thought and it's his thought, but it's not even coming from him.
It may very well not. They have the ability to do that. They have the ability with these electronic waves to actually paralyze people. I'll never forget.
Right.
One of my gentlemen called me. He'd been in the military, and he was with a special forces team that was taken out one night for an exercise, and they were supposed to crawl up, you know, and surround this vehicle and crawl up as if they were going to attack it. And as they begin to approach, why, suddenly an aerial goes up, and suddenly everybody in his squad was paralyzed. They couldn't even move. And they were just laying there, terrified. They didn't know what had happened. And after 3 or 4 minutes, the area goes down. Somebody pops out of the top of the car and says, "Thanks, boys, go home." They actually took them, and they could use this for crowd control for anyone. They have technology now that we have gotten supposedly to protect us from those wicked communists, or, well, now the communists are our friends, from the wicked Al-Qaeda. You know, of course, we're financing Al-Qaeda because we're financing the Pakistani intelligence. It's financing Al-Qaeda and the Taliban. So why are we developing all this technology? Well, it's really so that they can watch and control the American people. We have these satellites up in the sky that we put up there to watch the wicked communists, and now they're watching the wicked Americans, and they can track anybody in this country from satellite. So there's a couple of great movies out now. One is called Eagle Eye. The other is called The Echelon Conspiracy. I recommend everybody get those and watch it. Enemy of the State with Will Smith. These are important. I mean, somebody in Hollywood's trying to let the American people know we're moving into a surveillance society, and you're either going to stand up now and be counted, or you're going to be counted out. Our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And we have John calling from Spokane, where there's a group of people who are really concerned up there. I'm very impressed by the people you have up there, John.
We've got some good guys. We got Rob Chase up here, and he's doing a lot with the constitutional, getting people educated on the Constitution, and he has a radio program up here every Sunday. We've got Kirk Smith, who heads up the Tea Party program here, and they've done a good job activating people. Rob Chase was pretty much the spearhead on the whole Ron Paul movement. And there's, you know, in Spokane, when we had our Republican primary, there were 111 delegates to go to the state convention. 107 of them were Ron Paul. Only 4 were for McCain.
What about, did they get to the state convention?
Well, then they went to the state convention, so 107 out of the 111 were Ron Paul delegates. They went to the state convention, and then through the sleight of hand with rules and this type of thing, I was told that that's how they manipulated it, so McCain had it.
Of course, they did this all across the country, anything to thwart the will of the people. Democracy, they don't believe in democracy. Somebody asked the names of those actual movies. One was called Eagle Eye. One was called The Echelon Conspiracy. The other is Enemy of the State.
Mm-hmm.
Go right ahead, John.
Well, I know you're doing a really good job. It's I think personally that right.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets, a little protects your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
So our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Here in the Central Coast of California, that number is 464-8295, and I was simply talking about, can you trust the people who make the vaccines? Well, we know, for instance, when they made the initial hepatitis B vaccine, it was the yellow fever vaccine during the Second World War. Why they were in such a hurry to get it out, they didn't bother to test it. And 25 or 27,000 servicemen came down with hepatitis with yellow fever because they took the yellow fever vaccine. And, of course, I don't know how many of them died. We know that 300,000 of our servicemen had actually antibodies to hepatitis B because they had used a faulty vaccine. We know that in the certainly in the mid-1950s, why they go ahead and put out a polio vaccine, and they knew it would create polio. It contained a live virus. Dr. Oxner of the Oxner Clinic down in New Orleans wanted to prove to the public that this was a harmless vaccine, so he publicly vaccinated his mother, who promptly came down with the disease and died. And certainly hundreds of people contracted polio. I don't remember how many died from a vaccine that they knew contained the polio virus. This story is told in a book called The Health Century, and of course it was authorized by the National Institute of Health. It was written by a man named Edward Shorter. It's very disconcerting to read this story. And then to find out that the next thing, why a woman named Bernice Eddy, who was a scientist, had found that there was a cancer virus in the polio vaccine, and she tried to tell her superiors, and they would not allow her to put the information out, and she violated the gag order, and she announced publicly that there was a cancer-producing virus in the polio vaccine. And they continued to disseminate it, knowing full well what was going to happen. And millions of people have contracted cancer and died since that time. And they've lied about it. You can get this up on the Internet. Look up Simian Virus 40, SV40. Look up Dr. Carboni's work. Dr. Carboni has been getting the tumors and testing them and finding out that many of the bone tumors and the brain tumors and the lymphomas and the mesotheliomas that are killing people today are caused by this simian virus. That simian virus 40 that produces the cancer in almost every animal it's injected into. And they knew what they were doing and they allowed it to happen. Do you really trust the people to protect our public health? As far as the vaccines are concerned, we know that they put an anti-pregnancy medication into the vaccines that were given to women, childbearing women in the Philippines and certainly in Kenya. I talked to doctors from both areas at a meeting I attended, and both of them confirmed the fact that they'd put the human gonadotropin into the pregnancy vaccines were given in Kenya and in the Philippines. And if they do that, you know, can we really trust them? They lied about it. They can't let the American people know that they would use vaccines to do terrible things to people. You have to read the book by Bertrand Russell, The Impact of Science on Society, where he talks about, on page 53, through the use of diet, injections, and injunctions, we'll be able to control the minds of the children so they'll never be able to think independently from what they've been taught in school. That's page 53 of The Impact of Science on Society. Those pages from the book are actually included in my syllabus on the hidden agenda going into water fluoridation, but we're talking about injections, also diet. I believe that's what the fluoride is. Of course, the fluoride in the drinking water decreases fertility, attacks your mind. It lowers your intelligence, but it has a profound impact on our endocrine system. It competes with iodine gets into the thyroid, and the thyroid doesn't work quite right. Of course, it softens the bones, produces cancer. They know that. That's why they have this tremendous drive to fluoridate water in communities all across the country, and they don't use simply sodium fluoride. They use something called hydrofluosilicic acid, and of course, in the areas where that is used, and that's in 90% of the areas, if you check the lead levels in the blood of children, and there were something like 450,000 children checked, why they found that it increased double the lead levels in white children, up 400% in Hispanics, and 600% in blacks. It creates raids and criminal activity. And why then there's so many blacks in jail? One every three young black men between 20 and 30 is in prison, probation or parole. Could that possibly be the result of the lead that, of course, has poisoned their brains? We'll be right back.
Dr. Stan.
Yeah. Well, because we're up. Till we get through this.
Okay, move on.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and I do hope our listeners enjoy God Bless America. That's certainly one of my favorite songs. And Kate Smith, of course, did such a wonderful job of actually singing God Bless America. And we do hope every one of you will sing that song and proclaim that and just pray for God's mercy on America, for what we as a nation have done. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We still have John on the line. And, of course, if you're out there and you'd like to give us a call, you have something you'd like to talk about, or you're concerned about the massive propaganda campaign to frighten the American people into taking a totally unnecessary and potentially very dangerous, and I wouldn't say potentially, I would say a dangerous drug because it contains mercury and because it contains aluminum and because it contains squalene. If you're concerned about these things and the propaganda campaign to frighten the American people into taking it, especially when there is a population control agenda and there really are people who run our government who believe there are too many people in the world and we ought to eliminate a lot of them, why give us a call. Our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, and John, go right ahead.
Well, you know, in alignment with all that, it seems to me that the major thing right now, we've got the whole healthcare debate, and then we have the banking and what's going on economically and all this type of thing. If they do this thing in the fall where they start infecting people with the vaccines, and then you see the cascading effect of people getting sick and things closing down and quarantines happening, then with the way it's all set up with the World Health Organization, then all of a sudden superseding all member nations of the UN that are in the treaty in terms of how the WHO takes over. Next thing you know, then we've got martial law. There goes the economy, and it's like the end game, all in one fell swoop.
It really is ingenious if you stop and think about it.
Well, you can see it. It's like if you were to put all the different moves of a chess game, into a computer, you know, that thinks along these algorithms, it could tell you all the moves and how to go, and then bang, it's over. And I'm sure that this is, rather than using think tanks, now they're using computers. And so I think that getting the message out, what you talk about as far as the ministers themselves getting educated on what's really going on and disseminating that information through their congregations, because through organizations, individuals like who listen to your show, taking responsibility for contacting the leader of every group that they know of, making sure this person is awake and aware, and then getting that information disseminated down the lines. Because this, through the grassroots, through the pulpits, what have you, it's what needs to happen. And we have probably 2 months to get people where they're educated about what's going on so that they don't play into this. Because this will be the next 911 massive manipulation. And there's fear where people just disperse everywhere. They don't think rationally. They react. Then there's terror, where they just become the deer in the headlights and they do nothing. They just stand there. It will go through fear, then terror. People won't do anything. They'll just stand there like a deer in the headlights. Then it'll go into grief with the death of loved ones. And then people will soon and very rapidly be apathetic. And at the point of apathy, that's it. They can be, they're just pawns in the game of chess.
Well, what we have to do, of course, is reach people and get them to understand what is happening. What is happening? If anybody, all you have to do is turn on television and listen to how they're trying to frighten us. Now, have you seen that wonderful DVD? Actually, it's up on the National Vaccine Information Center website. It was a 60-minute segment that was actually shown back about 1978 or 1979 on the 1976 swine flu non-epidemic that they talked people into taking the shots for. And according to Mike Wallace, it killed 300 people unnecessarily. There are at least 500 people who got ascending paralysis, many of them permanently paralyzed for a non-existent problem.
Yep. Yep.
And so, have you seen that?
I haven't seen it. Well, I actually, on YouTube, you can watch the ads.
Right, but it's well worthwhile. You can get it at the National Vaccine Information Center, www.nvic, National Vaccine Information Center.org, and simply scroll down to the 1976 flu DVD video. Watch it. It takes 20 minutes. It is one of the best things I've ever seen because it shows the type of propaganda that they're using today to try to frighten the American people into taking an unnecessary vaccine, just as they tried to frighten people back in 1976, and they did. And 44 million people took an unnecessary vaccine, and a lot of them died. Okay, anything else?
That's it.
Okay, fine. Let's go to Mark, who's calling us from New York right now, and we'll be back in just a moment here. Our telephone number, again, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Hi, Mark. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I try to buy from your advertisers on your show, and you have an awesome show.
Well, just speak loud, just as loud as you can.
Sure. A great show. Let me get straight to my point. Is this any better? You can hear me?
Much better. Thank you so much.
Okay. Under what authority will they force us to take this flu shot?
Well, I think they're trying to frighten us into it's going to be mandatory. They don't have. By the 15th of October, they're not going to have very much. It's very, very hard to grow this virus. And so basically they're going to start out trying to get the children vaccinated and healthcare workers and the pregnant women, and of course children and health and pregnant women should not be taking this because certainly you're going to get a triple dose of mercury, and that's going to have a terrible effect on the woman, on the fetus inside of her. This is not cleared for use in pregnant women to show it's safe. Children do not predominantly get this disease. This is a disease predominantly of people between 25 64 and 64. And older people don't get it, and younger people don't get it. Almost everybody who's died is 24 to 64. Very few children, unless they were seriously ill otherwise, have gotten the disease. So they're not going to have enough vaccine, and it'll probably take them 2 or 3 months to get enough. And that gives us time to get people to understand, and not only that this is a phony epidemic, but also the population control agenda. And if you haven't gone up to my website, radioliberty.com, you can pull down my population control agenda monograph. I wrote it 6 or 8 years ago, but it's just as true today as it was when I wrote it. And it's the best thing we have out there to explain what's really going on. And so if you get that copy of it, you have my permission to make as many copies and just ask people to read it and say, you know, if there are really people who do believe in killing off most of the world's population, and a lot of them work in government, do you really want to give the government the ability to control, you know, your vaccines? And do you believe it when they tell you they're safe, when they've not been proven either safe or effective?
Yeah, I totally agree, and I'll do that to as many of my friends and coworkers. This idea about the pregnant woman just seems evil.
It is evil, and we're dealing with evil. And if you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, or seen the DVD, which is free up on the internet at radioliberty.com, get it, watch it, and certainly we hope you'll want to get the book, but watch the DVD. We are up against organized evil. These people know exactly what they're doing. They don't want us to know. And I will tell you that the best weapon we have is that monograph I wrote many years ago, but it's still as apropos today as it was then, the population control agenda. There really are people who want to kill off most of the people in the world. And one of them is Ted Turner. In fact, they had a meeting in June, and you can get on your internet site, go to your search engine, and type in a billionaire's New York City, June 2009, and population control, and you can get the articles down. All the billionaires got together to figure out how they could eliminate the world's population, most of the people. That's what they talked about. We don't have a script of what happened, but we know what they were talking about because we know what they think, and they want to get rid of most of the people in the world.
Yeah, I heard a little bit about that down the dial on the shortwave radio. I won't mention the person's name, but yes, you're absolutely right. Bloomberg was there and others. But let me ask you this really quick, if you give me 10 more seconds. I know a person in your importance with a radio show, a little guy like myself, I've noticed, it's not conspiratorial. I don't know if it's evil, but I've had instances in my life since I've been listening to your broadcast where it seems as, you know, you're trying to get the word out and the evil forces align against you. I've got individuals, you know, one in particular. And I know you don't know me from Adam, but you start telling the truth and the evil comes your way. They're trying to shut it down.
You're absolutely right. And what you have to do, are you an evangelical Christian? Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, then,
yes.
Chris, you have the power. Are you, as a Christian, to command the evil forces to leave you alone? And you don't have to say this out loud. You can think it in your mind. But I, you know, command you in the name of the blood of Jesus Christ to leave me alone. And I get under a demonic attack not infrequently. And I learned a long time ago that that's what you do. I can't do it. I can't combat evil on my own. But I can through, the name and the blood of Jesus Christ. And certainly if you've never read the book, Hostage to the Devil by Malachi Martin, I read it almost 30 years ago. It was my introduction to the other dimension, to people who have been demonically possessed. But the Catholic priests, those who really believed in the Lord, really were able to cast out the demonic spirits. The Catholic priests who really just were playing a game and didn't believe in the Lord, well, that's an amazing story of what happened to this. One professor of paleontology who was a Jesuit priest, but he lost his faith, and it's an amazing story. Yeah. What happened to him when he came face to face with evil. Hey, I'm going to let you go. We've got some people on the line calling on cell phones, but God bless, and don't despair. We just have to utilize what we have. My next newsletter will be on the so-called swine flu, but the population control agenda monograph is up there on the website. We'll have a 4-tape set available very, very soon on swine flu vaccine, and get that information, copy it, get it out. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
And let's go to Jeff, who's on the cell phone calling from, well, Yakima. Are you there, Jeff?
Yes, Dr. Stantz. Good to hear your voice again. Two quick things, and I know we're short on time, but we're getting ready for school to start. My kids are getting ready here, and I just wanted to prompt the listeners out there with kids that are going into school. I went on, I think it was vaccinerights.com. It was something I found off of your website that helped me to get a form that you can fill out where you can opt out of having your kids required to get any more vaccines. I've just decided that my son had terrible problems from the time that he took the MMR vaccine with throat, respiratory problems, asthma, kind of things like that. We've never had it before.
And that's the thing. One in nine children has asthma, and you don't see it in the Amish children who don't take the vaccines, because the purpose of the vaccines is to prime the immune system, and that's what asthma is all about. So I think you can rest assured that that's where it came from, and do not let your child take the vaccine. And I hope every other person out there will go to our website and get those forms, and just tell the teachers and the principal that, you know, if they dare to give your child a vaccine, you'll sue them for everything the school board has.
Absolutely.
And don't be nice about it.
Now, I have one other quick thing, another for the listeners. I have been doing this on my own, and I'm trying to get my people in my church to join in with me. We all need to call our senators and representatives weekly, daily, whatever it needs to take to make sure that they know that we are aware of what they're doing in Washington, D.C., and I've also taken upon myself to start faxing the senators. I figure I email, I call, and I fax. They're going to get that information somewhere. And may I give out the U.S. Congress telephone number?
You sure can. Go ahead.
It's 202-224-3121.
Give that one more time.
Okay, 202-224-3121. And that's the U.S. Congress main switchboard. And when you call that number, they'll just ask who you're calling for, and you'll say, I'm from Washington State, so I would say my U.S. Senator Patty Murray or Maria Cantwell's office, please, and they'll transfer you right there. And then you can speak with one of their aides and tell them how you feel. And if you're courteous and with respect, tell them how you feel, and if you have a little information, which you have been presenting so wonderfully regarding the health care plan, cap and trade, law of the seas treaty, there's just so many things out there that need to be brought up that they're trying to push through. So I've taken it upon myself, and I hope maybe some other listeners would do the same, is go on your individual senators and representatives' website, get their fax number, and write a nice, short, brief fax, and then fax it to them. Maybe here's what I did, is I made a blank for the name, and I took it to my church. Everything was written, and I asked my church friends, print and sign your name, address, and phone number, and I will fax it for you. And we've been sending in 20, 25, 30 faxes on different things, just praying that our senators will pick up on the idea that we're not happy with what's going on back there.
Jeff, I think that's wonderful. I commend you for what you're doing, but go to my website, radioliberty.com, pull down my population control agenda monograph, or certainly if you want to, get anything from us, we'll be glad to send you a free copy of it. You can duplicate it. But get this into the hands of as many people as you can and say, do you really want to trust your health to as people who really want to kill off most of the people in the world? And if you don't believe it, look, you can get the information. It's on the Internet. You can verify everything we say there in the population control agenda. It's up on my website, and you can pull it down for nothing, copy it, or get the little pamphlet form. But get people to read that. It's the best weapon we've ever had. Maybe it was written for just this time. Hey, I got to let you go, but God bless you for everything you're doing, and keep up the good work. Keep us posted, will you?
You bet. Thanks, Dr.
You're
Steve.
Welcome. And let's go to Jack, who's calling from Michigan. Hi, Jack.
Hey, Dr. Stan.
Do you have a question or comment?
Well, actually, yes. Several, real quick.
All right, fine. Before you do that, our telephone number is 1-888 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And so go right ahead, Jack. We've got just a moment or two here, about a minute, minute and a half.
Okay. For the benefit of the folks in Spokane and other areas where they have dedicated pastors, ministers, the Jay Sekulow, believe it or not, American Center for Law and Justice, corroborates what Bob Clinton has in his book, You Were Born Free, Now You Can Live Free, about, you know, tax-exempt corporate state churches, the 501c3,
right.
Believe it or not, Dr. Stan, right in the Internal Revenue Code, it states that 508c1, all churches and ministries are mandated exempt from taxes, and with that status, the corporate government cannot muzzle the pastors or ministers.
And, of course, the ministers would never have taken out the 501c3. They got the wrong status. Somebody gave them the bad advice, specifically so they couldn't speak out and tell the truth. And it's about time that our ministers understood and did away with that 501c3. And what's this other stipulate? What's the other thing they can take?
The 508c1.
Okay.
508.
God bless, and thanks so much, Jack.
Sure.
All right. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Again, our telephone number is 1-888-24...
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
We know America is changing, but most of the changes that are taking place seem to be designed to take away our freedom. And what can you do to remedy the current situation? Well, you can become informed, and one of the best ways to become informed is to subscribe to Republic Magazine, because that magazine provides the information that's suppressed in most other news magazines. If you want to oppose the effort to establish a one-world government, if you want to preserve freedom here in the United States and throughout the world, I suggest you subscribe to Republic Magazine, and you can do that by calling 1-800-873-1620. That's 800-873-1620, or access their website at www.republicmagazine.com. That's republicmagazine.com. I suggest you get extra copies for your family and your friends.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-
number of people who've been supporting us for years have lost their jobs and suddenly couldn't continue. If you can take their place and step forward, we'd love to hear from you. Our number is 1-800-544-8927, because we've got to finance the 60 outlets we have every single week. But at least people are hearing the truth, and you can help us get the word out. Then, certainly, we want to remind you that we are having the all-day seminar on October 25th here at the North Shore Monterey Bay at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course. And we hope if you can possibly come, you will. This is going to be a great time. You're going to need reservations, however, because we're serving lunch. So, and we're going to have an all-day. We're going to start at, well, about 8:30 in the morning and go through until 5:30 in the evening. And why, there won't be a, well, it'll be a full time for you. And so give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 to make a reservation and, of course, to find out about hotel reservations. We do have a block of rooms reserved at a reduced price. And then, of course, we want to explain to people that they have to understand the population control agenda before they can understand this phony swine flu epidemic. The people who are behind this are the same people who allowed the AIDS epidemic to take place. Today in America, we've already killed over a 500,000 people, and another 1 million people, well over 1 million people are infected, and they're all going to die, and it's totally unnecessary. I wrote a book called AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic. We still have copies of it. It is the best book out there on the politics of the AIDS epidemic because I lived it for the better part of a decade. And, of course, when I wrote it, I did not understand the population control agenda, but we'll be glad to send you certainly my monograph if you get the book, AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic. And you get that by calling 1-800-544-8927 to understand what energizes the people behind the population control agenda. You need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, or listen to my talk on The Forbidden Secret, or listen to my talk on the Financial Armageddon. They're available on DVD. They both have syllabuses with them that will help you to understand what is really going on in the world spiritually and financially. And then, of course, we do hope you want to get our talks on population control. The first one is called Planned Population Reduction. It's about 2 hours and a quarter. And it's a talk we gave for the Prophecy Club. We have a shorter version of it called Nundare College Genocide, available on DVD. A talk on population control on I believe it's on video. It may be on DVD as well. And then, of course, we have a 4-tape set on population control, going into the background of why they outlawed DDT. And they outlawed DDT because it was saving so many lives. And, of course, we talk about this terrible Category 6 pandemic that's sweeping the world as of the 12th of August. About 2 weeks ago, that had 1,400 people in the entire world who died. I think it's probably up to 1,700 or 1,800 by now, but there were 1,400 people by then, 1,700 people today, in the entire course of this epidemic with confirmed cases of swine flu. Ladies and gentlemen, we lose 2,500 people die, more than that die every day of malaria, which is preventable with DDT. And DDT, at least according to Alexander King, the co-chairman of the Club of Rome, which is the European counterpart of the Council on Foreign Relations, Alexander King said in his memoirs that we had to outlaw DDT because people weren't dying of malaria and too many people were living. That's what it was all about, but they can't tell you that any more than they can tell you that they know exactly what's going on with AIDS. They could have stopped AIDS a long time ago, and they didn't do it because it's all about population control. So we do hope that many of you out there will certainly want to get our material and help us get the information out. If you'd like a copy of our population control agenda monograph, why, of course, get anything else, just ask for it. We'll send it to you free, and then please pray for America, but pray for Radio Liberty, our provision and protection. This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Tom Horn. And Tom is an ordained minister in the pulpit for many years, and then certainly has worked in the major organizations. But in recent years, of course, he's been the president of Anomalous Publishing, publishing fascinating books. In fact, they've republished Brotherhood of Darkness, and is available through their organization. But Tom has been doing a lot of research into the things that have intrigued me for a lot of time. So, Tom, the research you've been doing lately is quite different than anything you've done in the past. We're talking about major conspiracies that you've been going into. Would you like to get into that and the spiritual component of those conspiracies?
Certainly, and Dr. Monteith, thank you for having me on your show. This is the second time to be on radio with you this week, so I don't know if I can take so much good. you wrote the introduction to my new book, Apollyon Rising 2012, and you know that I start out that book talking about how I had been wrestling with, you know, different images, enigmatic information for years, really trying to make sense out of certain things that I thought I was seeing. And then I, you know, literally about a year ago, I had one of those eye-opening experiences where I woke up out of sleep. I sat straight up in bed. I jumped out of bed, started writing notes down. Ultimately, by the next day, I was on a quest to try to make sure that what I thought I had found was correct. I eventually wound up with something like 6,000 pages of notes, and for the last year and a half, I've been putting all of it down in the form of a book, but basically it started out with puzzle pieces just falling together, and specifically involving certain things, for instance, the Great Seal of the United States and what the symbolism on it truly represents, and why it was influenced to be designed in the way it was, other pieces of iconic American history, and more than that, just really the history of the nation and the role that some of the members of secret orders played in the founding of this country. And what a year and a half of study did was it made me realize my naivety, my blind acceptance for so many years, especially of different controlled versions of American history, had literally been keeping me in the dark, blinded from a course that a network of hidden powers had intentionally set our nation upon more than 200 years ago. I'm literally talking about the secret destiny of America. And like I did earlier this week, I'll also say to this audience that it's also true that some of the founding fathers and a very large number of families and patriots that landed at Plymouth Rock and that settled this great country, the United States, were Christians. And I wouldn't want anybody to believe that I think otherwise. But it is also honest, and it also takes bravery to accept or to acknowledge what even some Freemasons have admitted, and that is the unseen hand of the Order of the Quest in American history.
And I think it's so vitally important. It's not either or. In other words, it's not either the Christians founded America or the occultists and the Masons and the Rosicrucians founded America. They're both. Both forces were here. Initially, of course, the occult was hidden. That's what the meaning of the word is. Occult means hidden. But today, they are in total working control of our government. And certainly, our ministers are not telling the American people. The controlled media isn't telling the American people that there are powerful secret societies and spiritual forces working at the highest level of our government today. Well, Tom, certainly you mentioned in your treatise that certainly the Bush administration and certainly the studying the Bush administration helped to awaken you as you begin to put the pieces of the puzzle together. Would you like to pick up on that thought?
Well, that's true. I mean, that's really when the lights came on. It was during the Bush family administration of George Bush Sr. started with his whole diatribe about the coming world order and a new world order. But then his son came along, George Bush Jr. And by the way, I voted for George Bush Jr. And I tell people today that I've asked God to forgive me for that sense, so they don't hold it against me. But it was during that period of time that all the puzzle pieces started falling together. And it seemed to me that it was more than a coincidence what I was hearing and seeing, everything from inaugural speeches to what we were doing in terms of foreign policy, world affairs, changes to U.S. domestic and foreign policy. Yet this renewed focus on the Middle East, Israel, Iran, Iraq, Babylon, and ultimately now today what, you know, could be the engineered collapse of the global economy, ordo ab geo. And everything that we're seeing cascading onto the world scene for this last decade seemed to start coming together to me as independent pieces of a larger puzzle that smacked of being prophetic. And when I reflected these developments against the certain words and deeds and gestures, coded language of the world's most powerful men, including the U.S. president, all of it seemed to me to be clearly pointing to an ancient, prophetic, cryptic reality. Briefly, I guess the one thing that really triggered all of it was when President George W. Bush, during his first inaugural address, stood and faced the obelisk, an occult symbol known as the Washington Monument, and he twice in that speech referred to an angel that rides in the whirlwind and directs this storm. 5 weeks later, after that inaugural, on Wednesday, February 28th, Congressman Major R. Owens of New York stood before the House of Representatives, and he actually prayed to the angel in the whirlwind, and he asked that this spiritual force guide the future and the fate of the United States. And it's interesting that it was exactly 28 weeks later, for a total of 33, that is 33 weeks, from the inaugural forward, and this, of course, is a number that's invaluable to mysticism and occult fraternities, and that I think was probably an occult marker, if I can use that term.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest, of course, is Thomas Horn. Tom was simply talking about how, of course, George Herbert Walker Bush had used the term New World Order a couple of times in a speech there in 1990. In fact, it was on September 11th, 1990, exactly 11 years to the day before we had the attack on the World Trade Center, 11 years to the very day that the Twin Towers were attacked. Is that just a coincidence? Well, maybe it was. But then, of course, George Bush, in his first inaugural address, this is George W. Bush, talked about the angel who rides in the whirlwind and directs his storm. He used the phrase not once, but twice. And, of course, what was he talking about? Well, then, of course, suddenly a few weeks later, why, of course, one of the congressmen got up and prayed, you know, publicly to the angel in the whirlwind and asked the angel to direct the course of our country. But nobody ever asked, who is the angel in the whirlwind? George Bush used that phrase twice in his first inaugural address. Millions of people heard it. No one. Probably almost no one, unless they were deeply involved in the occult beliefs and occult studies, had any idea what he was talking about. You pick up the story, Tom.
Well, and then it was also exactly 33 weeks, and 33 is a very, very important, high, powerful number, as both symbol as being symbolic of events, and also important to occult fraternities. 33 weeks after that inaugural, that those 19 Islamic terrorists, according to the official record, attacked the United States and hijacked 4 commercial airlines, crashed 2 of them into the Twin Towers, the World Trade Center in New York City, a 3rd into the Pentagon, and the 4th one that had been directed towards Washington, D.C., crashed in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. And 3,000 people died that day. Dozens have been missing since then. That was the first inaugural. And there were enormous occult markers on that inaugural and the timing of that inaugural and the references to the angel and the whirlwind. Now you leap forward to Bush's second inaugural speech 4 years later. And he again offers cryptic commentary, saying for half a century, America defended our own freedom by standing watch on distant borders. After the shipwreck of communism came years of relative quiet, years of repose, years of sabbatical, and then there came a day of fire. And a few paragraphs after that, more importantly, he added, by our efforts, we have lit a fire as well, a fire in the minds of men. And of course, that phrase, a fire in the minds of men, very famous phrase, it's from Fyodor Dostoevsky's 19th century book, The Possessed, The Devils. And we're talking about a novel that was set in pre-revolutionary Russia, where civil resistance was seen being championed by a nihilist by the name of Sergei Negev, who had tried to ignite a revolution of such destructive power that society would be completely destroyed. And Dr. Monteith, the fact that a United States president would quote that phrase in an official speech of record was astonishing, given that The Possessed, the book The Possessed, is all about violent government crackdown on dissent that then sparks civil unrest and revolution marked by violence. Well, if we look at what immediately began happening in terms of policy, both domestic and foreign policy, and the loss of individual freedoms, and how much further they would have hoped to have gone with some of these changes at the executive level, the federal level, it seemed like we were on course to fulfill the descriptions of this fire in the minds of men. That's also, of course, the title that historian James Billington chose for his famous book on the history of revolutions, including the origin of occult Freemasonry and its influence in the American Revolution.
In fact, that book is really one of the most important books in my library because it goes into all of the secret societies. It traces this, all of these occult societies back to Pythagoras, and certainly by inference to Plato and Socrates and Aristotle. But it talks about the Illuminati. It talks about a myriad of secret societies which most people don't even know exist. And here's the man who is the Librarian of Congress writing this book. They're doing everything they can to suppress this book today. I mean, if we try to buy it, why we don't get they only give us 20% off. That doesn't even cover the taking the orders and the shipping of the book. They do not want this book out, but it still is in print. Fire in the Minds of Men by James Billington, one of the most important books you'll ever read.
Well, and it's also very revealing because his commentary about these secret societies and how the Freemasons were involved in the American Revolution and their dream for Scott's New Atlantis, because in his closing comments of the same inaugural, Bush also tied his crypticisms in that speech to the Masonic involvement in the American Revolution when he said, quote, when our founders declared a new order of the ages, they were acting on an ancient hope that is meant to be fulfilled, end quote. So, all you have to do is look at these inaugurals and then look at what was happening during the tenor of those two presidential terms and, of course, what's happening today in this current presidential term, and you can see why so many different politicians and various people are talking about a new order of the ages, which, of course, is also taken from the Great Seal, Novus Ordo Seclorum, but which Bush acknowledged is an ancient hope that's meant to be fulfilled. You know something that's interesting? During my research for this book, Apollyon Rising 2012, I also talked to a couple of different people who were symbologists, one who works in cryptology, one that works in an FBI lab, and these people were also not surprised when I brought that up. In other words, to insiders, they saw those inaugural addresses by the president as really just being additions in really a larger series of carefully crafted speeches given over an eight-year period in which line-by-line analysis of his public references often uncovered what appeared to be coded language that was designed to convey shrouded messages at regular interval to obviously select members of his global audience.
And I think it's so important for people to understand that there is such a thing as esoteric speech and esoteric writing, and this is the way you communicate messages. Of course, one group, the large masses, the common people, will interpret it one way, but the elite, the people who are knowledgeable about the secret societies, the secret goals, the secret message, they will pick up the message and they will understand what it said. And when George Bush talked about when our founders declared a new order of the ages, they were acting on an ancient hope that is meant to be fulfilled. Any of you out in the audience can go up on the internet and look up new order of the ages. New order of the ages, what is it? It's Novo Ordo Seclorum. The statement that is there beneath the Great Pyramid on the back of the dollar bill. It is part of a secret emblem communicating a secret message to those people who are involved in these occult groups.
Well, if anybody thinks that we're making a stretch in logic by saying such things like that, I mean, I made time in this new book to confirm that even liberals were saying this. Biblical scholar Bruce Lincoln talked about his examinations and speeches delivered by Bush. He found the same thing. In American Dynasty, Kevin Phillips confirmed the practice of message coding by Bush. As a matter of fact, at the top of Phillips' list was reference again to the use of this metaphysical phrase, whirlwind. And Phillips talks about how it was, in his opinion, a metaphysical phrase from the Bible that refers to being a medium for the voice of God. In the books of Job and Ezekiel. Of course, from an esoteric point of view, Phillips might have been unaware or maybe unwilling to discuss the deeper contemporary meaning of that language and its importance to secret societies, because it's one of the titles by which the Illuminati nowadays, it's a modern name, it's a contemporary title for the Illuminati, the Angel of the Whirlwind.
I think it's very interesting. Somebody just commented, well, do you think that George Bush wrote his speeches? Or obviously he did not. He might very well not even understood the significance of what he was saying, but the speechwriters did. And it's very interesting that the chief speechwriter for George Bush for both of those speeches, very soon after we began the second term of George Bush, actually he left the White House. And where do you think he went to work? Why, he was a fellow for the Council on Foreign Relations, which was a modern-day manifestation of the secret society that Cecil Rhodes created back in 1891 to bring about a world government, and that is the stated purpose of the Council on Foreign Relations, to bring about a new global order.
Well, I have no doubt, and I even talk about that in this new book, that George Bush may not have understood entirely the words that were being put in his mouth, and that it might be or those who were operating the voice behind the voice, people who are operating behind the president. But on the other hand, the Bushes are members of several secret societies, Skull and Bones. When I was in Washington, D.C. recently at the House of the Temple, I noticed on the wall in the Hall of Charity where the Bush family has given over $1 million, so I don't know how much more over $1 million. It could be millions, I don't know. But over $1 million in support of the Scottish Rite, the goals of Scottish Rite Freemasonry in this country. And furthermore, a president, before a president gives a speech, he carefully studies the speech. He makes margin notes. He memorizes the text. He doesn't just get up and without any thought whatsoever, start reading a teleprompter. So when it's an official speech of record, I mean, I will grant that the president may not have understood entirely what he was saying, but on the other hand, there's a lot of reasons to believe that he was at least aware of some of the connotations in those speeches.
I think one of the most interesting things I found in Thomas' book, because I read the pre-publication edition, but the fact that when he was at the House of the Temple, that's the headquarters for Scottish Rite Masonry, it is the temple in Washington, D.C., and there on one of the walls was a tribute to the Bush family because they've given money. And what was it given for?
Yes, for the advancement of Scottish Rite Freemasonry.
Hold on, we'll be right back. Go ahead, pick up the story there, Tom. I mean, that's...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
You may have noted in his first inaugural speech when Bush was talking about the references to the angel in the whirlwind who directs the storm, and later on he's talking about Dostoevsky's novel, or he's taking a phrase from Dostoevsky's novel, The Possessed, and then this whole question by Woodward and others, why did we go into Iraq, Iran, Iraq? What was the whole reason behind it? And I think it's painfully obvious to Americans by now that we certainly didn't have good intelligence regarding weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, and I don't think that was the real reason. I mean, I may be wrong, but I personally don't believe that. If we went there to take control of oil, we're getting less of it now than before the invasion, so that would ultimately be a failure if that's why we went. Other people say we went there to spread democracy, but, you know, that's another show all to itself, the difference between a republic and a democracy, and the fact that even if you were trying to spread a democracy, you don't really do it with the tip of a cannon barrel. You also notice how infrastructure, I remember all this conversation about how when we go in, first thing we're going to do is we're going to repair all of the infrastructure. We're going to make sure we take care of all these people. And that stuff was left not only unprotected for a very long time, some of it still hasn't been repaired. And yet there were widespread reports that one of the very first things that we did was to go to the museums and Saddam Hussein's mansions and start recovering certain artifacts. And I'll tell you, Dr. Monteith, when you're talking about the different gods that different people serve and why did we go in and what is all this language and the president, is there esoteric things that are happening here? Is there something that's perhaps supernatural operating behind the veil? I did a show on Coast to Coast one night with George Norrie, and we somehow got on this whole subject about why are we in Iraq. And I mentioned the litany of things that people had said about why we went there and why we didn't go there. And I mentioned this fact about the very first day we landed, all these soldiers going in. In fact, there was a news story recently about how antiquities in Iraq were carried out in soldiers' sandbags. You might have saw that. Why did we prioritize that? Well, anyway, when I went off the air that night, I got an email, and I got an email from the Babylon Museum. And it was somebody at, and then it was the BabylonMuseum.com or .org, whatever it was. And they gave me a password to get in to the backside of the Babylon Museum's website. And there were thousands of pictures in there. I spent an entire day, hours. I must have went through 700 or 800 detailed photos showing our troops landing. And then here are U.S. representatives and soldiers and an ambassador for the U.S. And we went directly to the museum. We went inside the museum. We didn't care anything about the stuff that was up above the museum that's there for the public to come in and look at. They went into a long hall. There was a woman there in traditional Islamic dress with keys. She took them down this steep set of stairs and went down inside there and opened up these big vaults where Saddam Hussein had been keeping things underground at the Babylon Museum. And Dr. Monteith, it was picture after picture after picture after picture of opening these large containers down there underneath the Babylon Museum, and there were golden masks from Sargon II. I mean, there was stuff in there that absolutely priceless. No price could be put on it. But there was also stuff I didn't even know what I was looking at. And then there were very large containers, about probably like as square as a twin bed and deep. And it'd take 4 to 6 soldiers to get around those things and pick them up. And they didn't open those. They just brought them up out of there. But picture after picture. So it was amazing that here all of this discussion about why we're going in and what we're going to do, and yet, I mean, I'm thinking, you know, Saddam Hussein, he considered himself the resurrected Nebuchadnezzar. He had spent over $500 million rebuilding Babylon and doing archaeological digs, the recovery of artifacts, some that the general public, I'm sure, don't know about, including me. And also keep in mind that this rebuilding of Babylon, I mean, this is all very prophetic. All of this is very prophetic to Christians especially.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Go right ahead.
Well, it's very prophetic to people who view both the reconstruction of Babylon and also our potential involvement in Babylon as being prophetic in an end times sense.
Well, I really think that you're absolutely right, because none of this makes sense from a purely logical point of view. Why in heaven's name would we have gone over to attack Afghanistan, Iraq, you know? And certainly I believe that what happened on 9/11 was totally contrived, because, of course, there were 1,100 bodies that have never been recovered. They were simply vaporized. How did they vaporize all the cement and all those bodies and all the furniture? There's something else went on that the American people have not been told.
Land that I love, stand beside.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest is Tom Horn. Tom, pick up the story there, because basically there are all sorts of supernatural things going on today, and our leaders are really tied in one way or another to these supernatural forces, but they're not letting the American people realize the prophetic significance of our invasion or the spiritual forces that energized our movement. Go right ahead.
Well, we're in Iraq, and before all of the dust settles, of course, we may also be in Iran. I read a news story today, or I read part of a news story today, where the Mossad, the Jewish intelligence, secret service basically, may have actually been involved in the capturing of that Russian ship that turned up missing and then was discovered, and they were blaming it on pirates. But there's a news story out of the Jerusalem Press today talking about how it might have actually been Jewish intelligence that had been either working with the pirates or staged a pirate-type event, where they went in and actually took material off of that ship that happened to be ICBM-type missiles, large missiles that were being shipped from Russia or Gog Magog to Iran, and for the purposes of what? I mean, look, all of this is tied into Isaiah chapter 13. You have prophecies of an end-time destruction of Babylon. And some people wonder now if this isn't why the United States actually went in and built this giant embassy, because the administration, the Bush administration, which many people believe saw itself as the agent or a prophecy anyway, was poising itself to resurrect Babylon, or to be involved in Babylon, or maybe even something more esoteric, to actually please the supernatural powers, as difficult as that might be for some people to believe that we went there for reasons that only people who are masters of the occult would believe and be dedicated to. You know, when I originally pointed to both of those inaugural references of George Bush as being curious, I had done it originally because of the elements of wind and fire in those speeches, the angel and the whirlwind, fire in the minds of men. These are, wind and fire are key elements of the ancient forms of dualism that's connected to Iran and Iraq and Zoroastrianism, and also the more modern name for the Illuminati.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Tom Horn. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly Tom has been talking about the fact that there is a tie between the American invasion of Iraq and certainly the powerful spiritual forces that are at work in the world today. And we don't know all of the answers, but we do know that none of the excuses that have been given to the American people for our involvement there are real, that we are planning on staying there indefinitely. We have a massive, certainly a massive embassy, the largest embassy in the world. Originally, Barack Obama was going to bring our troops home. Then he was going to bring our troops home, you know, at the end of the year, 2009. Then he's going to bring them home at the end of 2010. And now they're talking about having to keep them there till the end of 2011. And we're talking about, since the Iraqi Air Force is not able to defend the nation, I don't know who they're going to defend them against, but since the Iraqi Air Force is not going to be able to defend the nation in the foreseeable future, we're going to have to keep American pilots and American planes and American Air Force units there in Iraq indefinitely. And what's this really all about? I mean, has anybody out there ever asked, why does Iraq need an Air Force? Are they going to defend themselves against Jordan? Are they going to defend themselves against Kuwait? Are they going to defend themselves against Israel? I mean, why does Iraq need an air force? And why will we station American planes there indefinitely? Well, before we go on, Tom, I want you to go ahead and get out your website, get out your telephone number. We know that the book, Apollyon Rising 2012, is not available. But when is it be available, and why should people buy it?
Well, it will be available. We hope early copies of it will be available in November. There are reasons that I have to wait until the end of September to be able to finish the last sections of the book. But there, people will be hearing a great deal about it. In fact, we're going to even issue a grand national cipher challenge. And people will understand the importance of that later. I'll come back on your show when we're ready with the details to talk about that. But now people can also learn more. In fact, they can sign up to be notified when the book is released. And if they sign up to be notified, they'll receive $60 in free books. They can do that at ApollyonRising2012.com or ApollyonRising.com. And if they can't remember that, they can go to RaidersNewsNetwork.com, and they'll see the link in the left column there where they can learn more about the book and the research that we're doing. Of course, you wrote the introduction to it, for which I am very thankful. Chris Pinto wrote the prologue to the book. And so far, I mean, I'm getting just amazing feedback, which is very humbling. I'm very thankful for it. It's unlike anything that's ever been written before, as far as I know, and I think it's going to blow some people's minds.
I certainly hope it does. It's an excellent book, and I would appreciate being asked to write the introduction. Now, do you want to get your web page out for your publishing house, Anomalous Publishing?
Yeah, well, people can go to defenderpublishing.com. The parent company is anomalospublishing.com, but the name is difficult for some people. And defenderpublishing.com will take them to the same website. And if somebody out there has written a great book and they're looking for a publisher, we certainly would be willing to look at their manuscript and see where it goes. And then, of course, our news service, which updates the news every day, is RaidersNewsNetwork.com. Also very much looking forward to being with you this coming October at the Radio Liberty Conference there in California.
Well, we're looking forward to having you there. For our listeners, that's the 25th of October. It's a Sunday. We hope that you're going to be able to come. Well, anyway, certainly as we talk about what's going on, what about the significance of the attack on the World Trade Center just 11 years to the day after George W. Bush, Herbert Walker Bush, talked about the New World Order? Is there any significance to the fact that it was 11 years to the day?
There's so much about that entire event. I mean, if people read this book and they think that it is what they call high strangeness, that it's probably beyond coincidence that all of these events were happening and being talked about before we went into Iraq, it's going to really blow their mind when they look at what was happening in the lead-up to and also on the day that we were attacked on 9-1-1. Because what most people, read, they'll find some little things like some of the websites online talking about how 9-1-1 matches the phone number that you call during an emergency, and maybe this is the reason why the terrorists that attacked us on that day picked that date, 9-1-1. But frankly, in occult numerology, first of all, anybody who knows anything about occult numerology knows that the number 11 is one of the most important numbers in occult numerology. It's the first master number, and it represents a dark vision. When it's doubled to 22, the vision is combined with action. And when it's tripled to 33, which is, of course, signal of the highest, most important action in Freemasonry, it means that vision and action have combined to produce accomplishment in the world. Well, when you understand that, then it's not unreasonable to ask if it was more than a mere coincidence that exactly, as you said earlier, 11 years to the date following George H.W. Bush's New World Order speech, and by the way, 11 years before the year 2012, which is not just the end of the Mayan calendar, it's when our next election occurs. And with this current presidency, that election is lining up to be something that could also be prophetically intriguing. Additionally, we're going to elect a new head of the United Nations that year, and a lot of other things that are going to happen in the year 2012. So I think that could also be numerologically important. But in any case, on September 11th, 2001, the number 11 turned up over and over again, not only in the date. It was Flight 11 that crashed into the Twin Towers, whose appearance side by side form a Masonic-like pillared gateway, which is very important, and I talk about it in the book, but also architecturally formed the number 11. Also consider that Flight 11 hit the Twin Towers first, and Flight 11 had 11 crew members. New York was the 11th state added to the Union, and New York City has 11 letters. Afghanistan, the first nation that the United States attacked following 9-1-1, has 11 letters. George W. Bush has 11 letters. The Pentagon, also attacked on 9-11, has 11 letters. And did you know that that list went on so much that after I had written that section of the book, I actually went back and took 90% of that information out of the book because it became too redundant. But it was startling when I did this research and talking to people who are experts in this field, how much that number turned up as a marker against that date. It's way past the idea of being coincidence. And then another enlightening observation manifests that day has to do with another twin master number, and that was the number 77, which stood out on 9-11 because of Flight 77 that hit the Pentagon, which is located on the 77th meridian, and the foundation stone for the Pentagon was laid in 1941 on, guess what, September 11th in a Masonic ceremony. So there's just so much there that it pretty soon, you know, it just grabs your imagination and you're thinking, okay, there's no way that this could be a coincidence, so what does it mean? And this is when I start looking at facts that are beyond just perhaps bizarre coincidences, how that, for instance, the number 77 is known to be an illuminated signal for the Masonic revenge of Lamech, which is drawn from Genesis 4, in which Lamech says to his wives, if Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold. And without going into a lot of detail, the reason that's important in Freemasonry and other branches of occultism is that Lamech was a descendant of Cain, the first murderer in the Bible, and he was the father of Tubal Cain, a master craftsman. Well, in Masonic tradition, the lineage of Lamech is important because he's considered to be the forefather of Harambeef, the first Grand Master, you know, of the Order of Masons, the chief architect of the Temple of Solomon, according to their mythologies. And the name of Lamech's son, Tubal Cain, is actually used as a title for a secret hand grip in Masonic ritual that allows passage of the third degree Master Mason. Now, one of the things I point out in this book is that that's more than superficially important, because hand grips in Freemasonry form a kind of Luciferian antithesis, Dr. Monteith, to the biblical concept of virtuous power transference or blessings through laying on of hands or greeting by hands. In the New Testament, it talks about Jesus touched somebody and he felt virtue go out of him and the person was healed. Of course, a lot of churches even today still believe that they can pray for people and by the laying on of hands, and if the prayer of faith is prayed, a person can be healed, or virtue can be transferred, healing can be transferred. Well, in occultism, there is something similar to that. And in Freemasonry, they are instructed to quote, follow in the footsteps of their forefather Tubal Cain, in order to master the seething energies of Lucifer that are in his hands. I know that you actually, through Radio Liberty, you make available Manly P. Hall's book, The Lost Keys of Freemasonry, right?
We do, and we think it's a very important book. We don't have it on our regular list, but people can request it. We do carry it. It's The Lost Keys of Freemasonry. It's in our special research division, and people should get it. They should read it, along with Manly P. Hall's book, The Secret Destiny of America. Those two books will give you more information about what's really going on today, even though they were written long ago. They were written by a man who was deeply involved with the occult, who told us exactly what's going on. The trouble is most people have never read his books.
Well, and you're right. I mean, the Secret Destiny of America and The Lost Keys of Freemasonry, I quote four or five of his books in my new book, but those two I quote more than any others, and most other researchers, I think, have as well. People should also know that Manly P. Hall was considered by is considered by Freemasons to be one of their greatest philosophers. So this man, while he was an occultist, is very accepted and very ingrained within the history of Freemasonry. He was a 33rd degree Freemason. And in his book, The Lost Keys of Freemasonry, which people can get from you, it illustrates, in one part of it, the point that I'm making about how Tubal Cain, the revenge of Lamech, how the number 77, how that's all important and tied into what happened here in the United States on 9-1-1. But in the Lost Keys of Freemasonry, Manly Hall says, he says, when the Mason learns that the key to the warrior on the block is the proper application of the dynamo of living power, he has learned the mystery of his craft. The seething energies of Lucifer are in his hands, and before he may step onward and upward, he must prove his ability to properly apply energy. He must follow in the footsteps of his forefather, Tubal Cain, who with the mighty strength of the war god hammered his sword into a plowshare, end quote. So we learn that there is this relationship in Freemasonry between the number 77, the revenge of Lamech, his son Tubal Cain, and Lucifer, and possessing the mighty strength of the war god, which is, by the way, during my research, I found that this turns up in lots of Masonic sources, and they actually are very open about explaining that this is a reference to the Roman god Vulcan, the son of Jupiter and Juno, who was a sun deity associated with lightning and volcanic fire, to which human sacrifices had to be made. And that turns up in what happened in 9-1-1. And it leaves us with the most extraordinary question. I mean, are we talking about, before 9-1-1, leaders of truly dark powers had now determined, Dr. Monteith, that the ascendancy for the New Atlantis, the New World Order, had arrived, and occult magical tradition suggesting or demanding that an event had to be triggered surrounding a mega ritual offering? The more you look into what occurred on that day and into magical tradition and into their belief systems and also what has happened since then to propel the world towards a new world order and the coming of a single global world leader, it really does begin to emerge that there is something of the highest level of wickedness that could have occurred then and is happening now.
Well, you know, I think it's so vitally important that people understand that you cannot understand anything going on today unless you understand the mystical realm, the supernatural realm. The fact we live in a material world, but there is a mystical world out there. We live in a physical world, but there is a psychic world out there. If you read the writings of these people, the occult writings as I do, and I know Tom has, they talk about the plan. The plan is written with a capital P, as if it's deified. And a lot of this gets into the background of the New Atlantis. What is the New Atlantis all about? I mean, we all heard about Lost Atlantis described in Plato's dialogues, but what's the New Atlantis, and what's that have to do with America and what's going on today?
Well, of course, I mean, now that takes us into the deepest kind of mystical meaning behind the symbolism of the twin pillars, the towers, and what moving beyond them might represent, because this was considered to be the last stage in the development of the Masonic Baconian dream of the New Atlantis. We would have to move past the pillars. New Atlantis, of course, being what the Freemason Rosicrucian adepts of Bacon believed was the goal of America. In fact, Manly Hall also talked about that in The Secret Destiny of America. This was the goal of America, that the United States was to become the new Atlantis. And when you look at what Bacon wrote when he was utilizing the antediluvian Atlantis as a metaphor, he depicts it as laying just beyond the twin pillars of Hercules, and his writings tell us that once we reach the point where we can move past these twin pillars, then we will be readied, we will be capable at that moment of having our minds open and of attaining the highest kind of knowledge that was lost during the times of Osiris and Septepi.
And America is to become the new Atlantis. This has always been the plan. Mandy P. Hall writes about that very, very clearly in his book, The Secret Destiny of America. And Sydney, the wonderful DVD that Chris Pinto put out, The Secret Mystery of America's Beginning, gets into that. Chris wrote the prologue to Tom's book. So people have to begin to look at things, what's going on today, through a prophetic certainly prism, through the prism of prophecy. And once we begin to understand that, why things that never made sense before begin to make sense. Our guest is Tom Horn, his book, Apollyon Rising, 2012.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Well, you know, America is changing, but most of the changes that are taking place seem to be designed to take away our freedom. And what can you do to remedy the current situation? Well, you can become informed, and one of the best ways to become informed is to subscribe to Republic Magazine, because that magazine provides the information that's suppressed in most other news magazines. If you want to oppose the effort to establish a one-world government, if you want to preserve freedom here in the United States and throughout the world, I suggest you subscribe to Republic Magazine, and you can do that by calling 1-800-873-1620. That's 800-873-1620, or access their website at www.republicmagazine.com. That's republicmagazine.com. I suggest you get extra copies for your family and your friends.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Not what we're engaged in. Sydney, if you have not read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. If you haven't read our 3 pamphlets set on the occult hierarchy, and of course, my newsletters go so much into the occult, there really are occult forces out there. You, Sydney, need, of course, to get the DVDs we put together on the background of this occult movement. My DVD on the Brotherhood of Darkness, but it's the same as the story of the book. In fact, the book came from the talk, not the talk from the book. Our talk on the forbidden secret, there is a forbidden secret out there that's been passed down for 5,000 years. And then, of course, we have our talk, Sydney, on the financial Armageddon. It tells you about the spiritual forces behind what's going on today and how they tie into banking and how they tie into the ruling elite, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderbergers. all are founded in the occult. Unless you can understand that they're all dedicated to world government, and the common denominator behind all of them is a desire to bring about a one world government and a one world financial system and a one world currency and a one world religion. And of course, eventually, this will usher in the one world ruler. If you want to know who Barack Obama really is, you need to hear my talk on financial Armageddon, because we simply quote from the Luciferians about the man who today is the President of the United States. You want to get this information, we want you to help it get it out. And then certainly we want to remind you about our all-day conference on October 25th. That's the all-day conference on October 25th. We want to certainly encourage you to go to our website, or if you get anything from us, to ask for a copy of the Population Control Agenda. It's a monograph, Population Control Agenda. You can pull it down for nothing at our website, radioliberty.com. Copy it and distribute it and point out to people who read it, there really are people who want to kill off most of the people in the world. Do you really want to turn your health and the health of your children over to people who want to kill most of the people in the world? Do you really want to have your children take an experimental vaccine that contains deadly substances like mercury, which is too toxic to put on the skin, but they put it into our vaccines? Squalene, an experimental adjuvant that creates autoimmune disease, so your body will begin to attack itself, and is killed an awful lot of people, and they know, and they're using it in this new vaccine. Do you really want to risk the lives of your children? The Population Control Agenda monograph is must reading for this time. If you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927, get anything we've talked about, we'll send you a free copy of the Population Control Agenda monograph. You need to get it. You need to read it. You need to help us disseminate this across America. I believe it was, although it was written probably a decade ago, it was written for times like these. We need to have the information. We need to get it out, and you've got to help us. Again, our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. You can listen to our programs there on the satellite feed 9 hours a day and not get anything accomplished, but you'll get a lot of information. You certainly can read our newsletters. You can certainly watch our DVDs. Lots of them are posted there. And then, of course, we remind you about our October 25th all-day meeting here in the North Shore, Monterey Bay area at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course. And you're going to have to call for reservations, 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we ask you to pray for America, to pray for revival, to pray for our leaders and our ministers, but please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection, because we're on the front lines of this truly spiritual battle. Till tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.